Yo, welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbog, with me, Iffy.
Hey, how's it going?
Now, how do you say the rest of it?
Jukude Nwadiwe. Jukude Nwadiwe.
Yeah, okay, cool, man. This is your second time on. You were on the first time with the Apple Doctor.
Yep, we're doing it big. That was during the the candy dinner days.
Yeah. I just went on your podcast too, just attack people.
Yep.
Sometimes you just gotta fire some shots and just see, you know, if you got any buzz going. If there's any, you can really build up a rivalry over a podcast.
I know. It seemed like you were able to get that Josh rivalry going to a nice kindling flame.
Yeah. You know, and it's just fun. I think some people, you know, that when you're on a podcast with headphones on, don't understand that it's a game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's all a game.
Yeah. So that's how it goes. But so you do improv, you do stand-up, you do sketch. What's your comedy regimen in a week? Like if you were to break it down for people on the, you know, in Kansas.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to move to Los Angeles and I'm gonna do something. What is going on with you? What's your week like?
Well, my week, Monday I start off and I usually try and do the Meltdown and Comedy Store open mic. So that's my stand-up in. And then Tuesday I chill. And Wednesday, I pretty much chilled. And Thursday, I have my soon-to-be former sketch team. We rehearse 10 to 12. And then Fridays is either a mic, a show, or just chilling if I need it. And Saturday, I meet with my team, White Women, and then we either write or have improv practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then rinse, repeat. You know, Saturdays, show's a party. You know?
Yeah,
show's
yeah.
a party, y'all. Party, get your party on.
So, now, you started, you know, we saw each other at the cocktail lounge the other day. What's that called?
The Good Night.
The Good Night, yeah. We were doing a mic there. You brought your girlfriend. So, you know, you're dating Aurora.
Yeah.
You know, who's Jewish.
Yeah.
You know, you're a black guy.
Yeah.
How's the family accepting you? Are you going
good,
in
Good, they're loving it because, like, she's not, like, straight up, like, white Jewish. Like, she's, it's like a weird thing because the Jews, like, because the Jews escaped to Argentina.
They're always running.
Yeah, when they're during the war. During the war, they escaped to Argentina. And so then from there, they lived out there. So technically, she's Jewish because, you know, her bloodline comes from Poland. But, like, you know, her dad's Argentinian. So, like, her mom is Jewish, like, full-blood Jewish, but, like, I mean, if you live in Argentina, you know, there's no, like, hate for other cultures, really. Basically, long story short, she's digging it. Yeah, her mom, her family's digging it. You know?
Cool. Well, that's good. It seems like they have a more of a multicultural thing there.
Yeah.
I've never been to, have you been to Argentina?
No.
Hell's that like?
She said it's real white. Like, everyone looks white because of like, the Great Exodus. Like, everyone there is basically white that speaks Spanish.
So they're, like, there's, like, a white flight out of Poland, and then they all just dropped there, and then they kind of gentrified the native Latin people out of there?
Yeah, like,
do they at least speak Spanish?
Yeah, they all speak Spanish. Like, it's pretty crazy. And, like, they have the same kind of accent. So they all, basically, they'll look white, but they'll sound like, you'll tell that they're of Latina.
Right. Because of that Castilian hitting their lips or whatever.
Yeah, plus, like, even Argentina, that came from Spain, so, like, it was bound to, like, it doesn't get much whiter than that. You know, they're just, like, the whitest Latinos, I think, down there.
You know, not that racism is important or colors are important, but definitely the whitest Latinas around live in Argentina for sure. when you were single, so, you know, I dated someone when you were single, I went through your Facebook and there's from your single days, right? This is a post you had. I think I want my next girlfriend to be like an American Apparel ad, emotionless and hungry for sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are good ads.
I know. One of the guys in White Women actually met one of those chicks who were on, like, the billboards.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and like, it didn't go anywhere, but he said she was, like, real, like, not weird, but like very one of those actory types. So all those girls, that kind of kills the illusion. Like they look like they're ready to fuck, but right. they're actually just another one of those actory types who are like, oh, I don't watch TV, and like, you know, I'm just out here trying to do my thing. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Actually, I knew someone.
When you look at the ad, you just think you'll meet them, and they're just like, oh, I just love all these silks. Who's around to kiss my butthole?
Yeah, please, please, right here. No, I actually knew someone who worked, like, as one of the models there. Apparently, to get, like, the billboard ad, you have to fuck that owner, dude. Like,
I bet, old yeah. guy.
And, like, that's how you get it, and it was funny, because she was, like, talking, like, the shit about those girls, like, oh, yeah, they, you know, they want to fuck their way to the top, da-da-da. But then I saw that chick, like, years later on a billboard. I was like, she finally caved in.
She did it.
Fuck that dude, man.
So where does that lead? After you get a billboard, you get a, you know, you wipe old jizz off your forehead. I mean, what then what's the next part of the application? You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe bigger and better, I think,
like
you know?
You get your film into a festival, then it wins some laurels, then it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It moves on to, like, a foreign distributor or something like that. It just seems like maybe dating a rich guy, maybe just
yeah.
get jizzed on and then a private island.
Yeah.
By some creepy billionaire who you can record making racist statements.
Yeah.
What do you think about this whole thing that's going on?
Oh, it's so fucking funny because, like, yeah, I always think it's funny when the racist person is dating, like, a black person or, like, right. someone of color. And it's and she's black and Mexican. But, like, I still think people miss the bigger deal. Like he said, don't bring him to the whatever. It's like, you can sleep with him. It's fine. Just don't publicize it. And I was like, hold on, like, someone needs to jump on trying to fuck his girlfriend.
What's this guy's called again? I forget his name.
Donald Sterling.
yeah. It's, but he's like, he's cool with cuckolding, which should really kind of like make the, like, you could say racist shit and you could shit talk while some guy's fucking your wife. It's like, whoa, that is a racist gray area.
I know. Yeah,
like, what, like, is, we can't really like hold his feet to the fire too much. He's a fucking crazy old guy.
Yeah, he's crazy, but, like, I'm a Lakers fan anyway,
right?
So, like, it was beautiful for me to see that shitty team go through it, because they've actually gotten better than the Lakers in the time being, because the Lakers players have gotten older. Now we're in this growing stage and all this other sports bullshit that I kind of follow. So
yeah, it just seems like Osaka, which is Mel Gibson's trophy wife, like, kind of, like, laid a business plan. Like, oh, if you're, like, getting loads on your face from some old dude who's, like, super racist and says crazy things, I have a business. Here's the workflow. Get them all riled up, say some crazy shit to them on the phone, click record, and file a lawsuit. It's like, it's this weird, like, this is a workflow of the trophy.
I know, and it's weird. I definitely think it's something deeper, too. I think, like, she has, like, him saying, like, some worse shit, and this is just the, because, like, that's just, what's your end game if you just, like, burn that bridge with your cash cow? So if you, and he's still with her, so I bet you she has, like, I have this where you said, where you reveal you've been hiding African babies in your basement, and I'll reveal that tape. See, this is just the tip of the iceberg, but you better be giving me that good money.
Yeah, but what makes it very racially ambiguous is that he's just raising the best cuckolding to fuck his wife. So, like, these, he's getting them when they're little baby Africans, and yeah. then he teaches them. He, you know, they have to work out all the time to get in shape. When they're 18, then they start fucking his wife, you know? So yeah. it's like, you know, is he a father figure to these kids? Is this a racist situation?
I know. No, I think that's what it is. I think he's actually, you know, doing some underground slavery type shit where yeah. he's selling them to other rich, racist assholes, and they're gonna go ahead and have these man babies. It's kind of like that that whole Game of Thrones thing where they have those eunuchs and they train them to be warriors, but these guys are trained to be fuck soldiers.
Right,
and he's gonna just cash in on it, you know?
It's a very... You know, when you get to those levels of finance, the hobbies you can afford to yourself yeah. are very, you know.
Pretty sure this
whole... You start to get creepy.
Yeah. The whole storyline's going to be in, like, the second Wolf of Wall Street's leg, and then there were the fuck soldiers, and then
yeah.
he just goes into
You just that. Learn about this dormitory of, yeah. Like, clones just flexing.
They all look like Lexington Steel.
What is going on in the Sterling household these days? So you're descended from Africa.
Yep, that's true.
Is it Nigeria?
Yep.
And you're always posting stuff about Obama, stuff about certificates, birth certificates.
Have I been updating my posts?
I saw one thing where you were like, you found his like Columbia ID or whatever, and it had this different name on it.
Oh yeah, it was like this
like Barry Salvico or something like that.
It was this Republican Facebook page, and like I thought it was hilarious, so I like shit. Because I love that shit, because I love people who hate something or someone so much that they start to go off the deep end. And I think that's like that's a thing with anyone. What, like, if you start to hate someone so much,
right,
you're just gonna start creating shit in your mind and go crazy.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's what happens to a lot of these Tea Party Republican people. And like, it's crazy because it's gotten to the point where it's like this is just not even true anymore. It's like, damn, like, you guys aren't even trying to find, like, real shit that's, like, wrong, you know?
Yeah. So what do you think? You like Obama? Are you a fan of Obama?
I mean, yeah. I think he's doing a pretty decent job. I mean, everyone's not going to be perfect, but, I mean, he's kind of got a handful to start off with, you know?
Right.
And I think he's been doing a good job. Like, technically, it's like, this is going to probably be... this whole debt issue and unemployment is probably going to be something we're going to deal with the next two or three more presidents. Like, right. This isn't going to be something that one person is going to fix, and I think we just have to admit that. Yeah. But I think, like, I really think, like, we're probably not going to have a Republican president for a while. Like, it just seems like the Republicans are having the hardest time finding, like, someone sane who can, like, not say some stupid bullshit, because, like, they're even turning, like, against themselves.
Yeah. Seems like there's, like, so many creepy neocons that are, like, just, like, they've, like, been, like, who are you gonna...
Yeah.
It seems, Rand Paul seems like he might be, running, though.
Yeah.
But, like, people like Mitt Romney, you just look at them and you're like, no, like, you're smiling with too much confidence in your Mormon underwear. It's like, I don't know what to think anymore. And also, I don't know, what do you think, religious, like, Mormonism, when people have these weird religions, it's just like, can you really trust them ever?
I know.
Every time they're looking at you, they're going, if a bullet came at my undies, you know, it's just like, there's too many disconnects.
Yeah. And also, I think it's just when someone, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, a presidential candidate having a religion, but, like, if you wear it that hard, like, there's no way you're not going to get into office and, like, play to it. Like, there's no way. Like, you're definitely trying to do the old switcheroo, like, oh, I'm president now, sorry, fuck you guys.
Yeah, and then, but it's just this weird thing, because, like, if a, you know, if a president is Catholic, then Italy's gonna like them, and the Vatican's gonna like them, so it's like good there. But then it's like, you know, it's just so weird. I don't know, let's all just not be religious.
Yep.
So you're a comic book nerd.
Yes,
you went to Comic-Con. You know,
I actually went to Comic-Con like 2 years ago. I missed this last Comic-Con because I used to work for the Improv on Melrose, the comedy club, and
what did you do for them? What was your...
I was just the door guy.
Yeah.
Like, so I gave people wristbands, flirted with chicks, you know, the like.
Well, how did you guys part ways? Did your flirting get too intense?
No, what happened? They loved it because, you know, you're being personable and stuff.
Sure.
I just started this other job because I needed a little more money, and then I had to leave them. And so now, like, I've just been making money doing, like, little side gigs and acting and comedy shit. So, like, I'm kind of living the dream. Like, I'm almost there. My foot's still kind of, like, you know, outside, staying afloat with these side gigs.
Right.
But, you know.
You know, was were you, like, in high school, like, really into comics and, like, got into, like, the storytelling aspect of it? Is that kind of what led you to comedy? Was it comic books first?
No, actually, I wasn't that hardcore into comics in high school. I was more of a video game nerd, trading card game nerd in high school. Like, I played Magic the Gathering, Yu-Gi-Oh, okay. That shit. And I
That's
had those...
a gateway to yeah. Comic-Cons.
And then, gateway to Comic-Cons. But you know those little zip-zap cars they used to have at Radio Shack? Like, yeah. There's a car, and then you can, like, charge it on top of the remote, and I would play that. And it was funny, because, like, in a weird sense, like, I've always kind of been a comedian, because the black kids at my school would do this thing called shooting, which is basically, in its rawest form, is just roasting, but you're just, like, based on what they're wearing, based on, like, what you know about them, you just talk shit about them, and then based on, like, reaction from everybody listening, you know who won. And I was, like, really good at it, which was, like, kind of crazy, because I was not the best dressed at school. Like, I was this nerd, like, people had ammunition, and I was able to just flip it against them, and, so that's what I would do, balancing that nerd act, and then I kind of,
So this is in high school?
Yeah, this is in high school.
And where would these, challenges go down? At the cafeteria?
Like, right in the middle of the, like...
The quad?
Like, quad, yeah. Right. Because, like, all the black people would, like, hang out, like, this wall. It was, like, this weird area, and they would kind of, like, post against the wall and just chit chat, and then like this big circle where you'd think it was a fight like would break out, and then the two people would be inside, and then like you'd like point out like, yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Now that could be considered bullying.
Yeah, but everyone involved was like equal status. Like it wasn't like you were just shitting on one person. Like you were just going back and forth. So like I'd be like, oh, look at that shirt. Look at that. That shit's weak. And then I remember, I'll never forget, because like looking back now, it's like, oh yeah, of course. I had a shirt that had the Gucci logo on it. And then someone was like, look at that shirt. And like, Gucci doesn't make t-shirts. That shit's fake. And then like, and so then like I would go back. So it was almost like organized in a way. But like sometimes there was like bits of bullying. Like there were the like not as good guys who would just get like
just
dumped
torn up.
Yeah. And I remember one time he got done so dirty because, you know, he got torn up and like we're all black. And so, but like, you know, there was one guy who was darker, and this guy comes up to him and just totally sets this guy up. He gives him like a picture of a gorilla and said like, hey, tell him that this guy is his parents, like the gorilla. And then he was like, oh yeah, yeah, like thinking he was like, yeah, I'm gonna fucking get him with this. And that guy got so mad when he showed that gorilla picture, and he like slapped the shit out of him. Like it was so loud, and then it just gets quiet when he saw that picture of the gorilla. Like people were like, oh, and then it just silenced because everyone saw like how pissed he was, and it's just silence, and you just hear his hand hit the side of his face. And I was like, oh, he got set up. Like, I was like, it wasn't him at all. It was this other guy who was, like, his friend. I was like, damn, fucked him up.
So what happened? Did he get in the principal's office?
Oh, no. Like, we...
That's the rules of the street. Nobody says shit.
Yeah, no one says anything. Like, he tried to get all, like, and, like, he was going to fight, and people pulled him away. Right. But that guy could not fight. Like, that same guy, I forget his name. I wish I did. Got into a fight with a kid with one arm and got his ass kicked. Like,
really?
Like, yeah, this kid was, like, straight thug. Like, he had, like, one of those, like, fake arms.
Right.
But, like, not like today where you can move the hands. It was just, like, a straight, stiff arm. And, like, they got into a fight, and then he got fucked up. And I was like, good thing you lost, because even if you won, they'd be like, oh, you beat up that kid with one arm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But did he, like, take the prosthetic off and just club to death with the,
He should have. No, he just, like, kept fighting him with one arm and just had that arm there.
Yeah.
And then, like, yeah.
Good jab, and covered up.
Kind of block with the prosthetic arm, break his... fucking hand.
That's nice when you got a nice piece of rubber to absorb the impacts of those shots on that side, you know. Speaking of which, I'm like wobbling around because I do Muay Thai, you know, and I did some sparring, and some guy fucking didn't wear shin pads.
Oh, sparring, fuck.
And he lit my legs on fire. Yeah. He also head kicked me.
Why?
And, and I wore shin pads, you know, so what the thing is, some people, especially with striking, you know, guys have big egos, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, the egos manifest themselves when you're sparring very quickly, you know, because when I started punching him in the face, he was like, whoa, 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 don't punch too hard, or whatever. So I was like, okay, I can only really tap him in the face because he's a wuss.
Yeah.
And then he then we have shin guards on, you know, and so then he keeps just chopping my legs over and over and over again.
Fucking asshole.
And then now I have giant bruises on my legs. Yeah. But it's like, that's like his way to win. But yeah. It's like, okay, let's fight. Here, I'll have a sword with a big rubber thing on it, and you have a sword that's good, that's red, that's just a steel sword. Yeah. All right, let's fight. It's not like a fair fight if his shins, you know.
Hell yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm kind of pissed off about it.
No, I totally am familiar with that, because I used to do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and it was the same thing. Like, it was just that thing of, like, if someone pissed you off, like, you'd wait just a little while, like, after they tap out.
And right,
like,
right,
fucking hey, man. Or I had this guy who was gnarly, like, we were on the ground,
right.
And he was like, I'm gonna show you this trick I use in tournaments, and, like, he just shaved, so he had that rough stubble, and he was just kneading his, like, chin into my neck. I was like, ah, fuck, and I tapped out. He's like, look, I didn't even do a move. I was like, dude, that's fucking cheating, like, you're,
yeah.
And I was like, but then you think about it, like, no, it kind of isn't, you're using your body, but no, fuck you.
It's like, yeah, you have the sandpaper area.
Yeah.
That's what if. Yeah, so you did, you want to talk about, your jiu-jitsu experience, though? Like, how did you get into, you do, like, Gracie Baja?
I did Brazilian Top Team, which, was cool, because I don't know if you know old school UFC too well, but that's,
I do, man.
Murilo Bustamante.
Okay.
That's his school, and I actually, like, learned under him for a bit. He's a real nice dude, and he mm-hmm. was, like, teaching me stuff. It was so much fun, but, like, I just... ran, it was just so time consuming, I couldn't find the time to do it to make it worth the money,
right?
Because it was one of those school, like, I believe it was like $250 a month, and you would just go, you can go as much as you want during the week, so it was like a kind of a deal. But
if you're gonna do it, you should make it into your college for a little bit and, like, get into it,
And so, yeah, it was fun. I did tournaments, I've placed like in. Like, I think I did, like, 4 tournaments and placed in 3. So, and it was going upwards. So, it was fun while it lasted. And I'd like to, I keep saying I want to get back, but I'd like to be able to, like, I'll do it when I'm living off of acting.
Right.
And then, like, then I can do that because your schedule's so free.
Yeah. You can have time just to, like, get in shape or whatever. But what belt did you get up to?
I was a white belt. I did it for, like, a little less than a year.
Oh, okay. That's cool. You're, how old are you now?
26.
You're 26. Okay, so you kind of, I'm 28. You know, we're kind of same age. But you kind of, like, grew up on the internet. Like, as I was going through your Facebook feed, it was like, oh, shit, you're, like, younger and younger and younger. Yeah. And it is weird now. Like, each kind of person has, like, it's almost like their social security number is kind of, like, in their Facebook thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, everyone kind of gets these things.
Yeah.
Where now all of a sudden you grow up online. What do you think? Is that good for us? Is that bad?
I mean, I think it's good to a point. Like, I feel like once, like, the adage is, you know, everything done too much is harmful. I fucked that up somehow, but you get what I'm saying. But I feel like it's so helpful in so many ways, but the fact that, like, everything is so online, like, I feel like some people get so disconnected just in real life, like, they don't know how to do, like, things, basic shit.
I see so many people, like, texting as they're going onto the highway.
Yeah, it's like, ugh. Like, and I actually used to be real bad with that. It's actually my girlfriend who kind of started breaking me out of it, because she's from San Francisco, and, you know, they're all hippies up there, so they're, and it's funny because it's, like, the tech capital, but they're still, like, into, like, you know, not being too connected, that you're disconnected.
Right.
And just, like, lots of times, like, I just catch myself, like, when my phone is dead, I'm still pulling it out, like, constantly. And it's like, do I really check my phone that much? And so, like, yeah, I feel like it's good because, like, everything is starting to be connected, so it makes life easier. But I'm starting to feel like we may be connecting everything the wrong way. Because I was talking about how, like you grew up on it, too. So there was that move from, like, there was LiveJournal, there was Friendster, there was MySpace. Then we moved to Facebook. And so I was talking with someone last week about, like, yeah, you know, eventually Facebook looked like it's going to be on that arc of dying. We're going to move on from that soon. And she's like, well, no, we're not. It's like, everything is connected through Facebook. And I was like, that's so right. Every... everything we do now is connected through Facebook apps, sites, right. all that. Which
you want to sign in with Facebook?
Yeah.
You want to sign in with Facebook?
And so it like keeps us on Facebook, so that, and that's like a sneaky way that Facebook has been staying around, which is why no one's been able to move on to a new social media site, is because everyone's like, oh, I'm so connected on here, you know?
Yeah. And it's kind of like almost like getting rid of a phone number or getting rid of, you know, something like that, so that people don't know how to contact you anymore.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
Yeah, also, it makes me very uncomfortable when I upload photos to Facebook and they're like, do you want to add a location? And I just see, like, a cop going, like, where was this photo taken? What is your alibi for this scenario? When was this taken?
Oh,
just like, I feel like interrogated all of a sudden. Yeah. You're uploading an album, you know? It's like, I don't know, I was around L.A., fucking, what's it to you? I'm gonna, like, tag exactly what cross street I'm at so that some fucking fed can, you know, it's just very, makes me disturbed. Do you think it's just a data gathering for the CIA?
I don't know,
so
there's something,
keep track on us?
There is some, like, definitely data gathering, like, have you been seeing what's been going around on Facebook where people are saying, finding their celebrity lookalikes through this app?
Oh, really?
Yeah, but if you look at the pictures people use, like, it'll be a picture of me, you, and, like, five other guys, and then it'll be, like, Marlon Brando, and it's like, how did it know which one this do? It was like, this is obviously just getting you to log in with Facebook so it can do this. Like,
right.
I can't wait to see what that turns out to, like, be.
Yeah, I was on OkCupid for a while, you know?
Yeah.
I always would drive me fucking bananas when a girl would have, like, one profile pic, and then, like, six other pics of her with all of her girlfriends.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I think you're there, yeah. but I'm not sure which one of you are between these four girls. And I don't know which one of you are between these four girls. Are you trying to, like, dilute the hotness or, like, kind of spread it out? Like, it, you know, get with an 8 and a 5 and a 10 and then kind of spread it out so you don't really know what's going on?
Yeah.
It's very weird why they would do that.
That whole site is weird. Like, the girls on there, I'm just like, what the fuck? Because, like, I mean, like, I'm equal opportunity, like, especially since I would go on there to fuck. And, like yeah, that's where I'd go
there.
I'm not looking for dates on there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, it's just, like, I would just go, like, I'd go for hot chicks, some girls who are not as hot, and everyone would, like, give me, like, no response. I'd be like, no, I know I can bag any one of you, like, chicks and all this stuff. And I'm, like, I sound cocky, but it's like, man. And then I, like, got to prove that self to me, because when I stopped using OkCupid, I started getting laid way more often just, like, meeting chicks around town. I was like, oh, well, fuck this.
It is weird, like, the social skill aspect of it. It kind of, like, weeds people out who, like, are extroverts almost.
Yeah,
because...
that makes so much sense. It does feel like that.
It's like only that type of person, you know. But, you know, I tried it out, too, just to kind of see what's going on.
Yeah.
So let's get into some news stories. They're very hard-hitting news stories, and I think it's very important, you know, with the power of the internet and podcasting, where I can reach everyone globally. Florida man drives naked, masturbates in attempt to entice a trucker, says the cops. So, Corey Evans, a 22-year-old from Boca Raton, Florida, was arrested. Now, this is a weird move. We were seeing trannies around Taco Bell. You know, as I was walking into Taco Bell, they were walking very slowly in front of me. Kind of like two of them were like almost like blocking my way. So like they were just like had to slowly walk in front of me to be like, hey, you want any man sauce or whatever. But this guy, he's masturbating on the freeway while driving to, and then he was looking at a truck driver. Yeah. Like, hey, you know, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
You know? We don't got to go through this whole online dating thing. This is happening right now, you know?
Yeah.
So that truck called the cops, and then, you know, you can't do this. But what's going on in Florida?
I just want to know, like, what did he think that was going to lead to? Like, when you both pull over, we open up that trailer and fuck back there. Like, what was...
Or, I think that was probably the move,
or maybe
right?
He wanted, like, you know, a jack back. Like, he's looking, and I was like, I'll jack too, and then we'll jack together.
Right, right, right.
But that's not safe driving technique. I think maybe that's why the trucker called, is because it's an unsafe driver. Maybe one or two jacks, hands back on the wheel, wink.
Right.
And then...
See, that's the... Especially if you have a manual transmission. I imagine the semi-driver had a double clutch. If you're masturbating with the double clutch, I mean, come on. There's a lot going on. But, you know, I've gotten Roadhead, and that's great. But yeah. It does take my... What do you think if you have, like, 5 beers of Roadhead? What's worse for your driving?
You know? 5 beers. 5 beers. I think if you stay focused enough, you can accept that Roadhead.
Yeah.
It's all about seat placement. You got to set your seat up right so that you're looking at the road and you're where you can have a firm hand on the wheel and where she's safe and dodging the, you know, right. stick. And you can only do it in an automatic.
Yeah. You got to, cruise control. Just you have to eliminate your variables. Straight highway, the 5 north, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. Teacher accused of giving a birthday lap dance to a student. So a 42-year-old teacher performed a full contact lap dance in the middle school in front of his Texas classmates. Now, I gotta say, you know, her name is Felicia Smith. She was black, you know, it's a black student to an all-black classroom. You know, I think she thought that, like, it was the rules of, like, the rap battles or the, you know, where, like, nobody's going to say shit after this. Yeah, like, okay. He's 15. It's his birthday. I'm just going to grind my pelvis on his dick. And we're all going to have a good time. Apparently, the classroom was going crazy. You know, they were loving what was going on. But, you know.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there was one, like, geeky kid who's like, oh, she's not teaching. And that's the one who snitched.
You think so?
Yeah.
He's like, I thought we were going to learn about the molecules.
Yeah, I actually, saw this and I, like, looked at the news story. And it's funny because, like, when you read it, like, you don't really get the full effect. Like, you, right. like, it's like, oh, it's a lap dance. So, I was wondering why it's being, like, charged so hard. But, like, she was, like, had her head in between his crotch.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, he was, like, rubbing up on him. It was, like, right. pretty graphic.
Right.
And I like that the kid, like, stepped forward and was like, yeah, I, like, he admitted that he slapped her ass and, and was like, you know, he was participating, so...
But, I mean, how is he going to get in trouble for that? He can't really get in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, that's proper lap dance behavior.
And it's the teacher is, you know, leading this. And if she's kind of grinding already, it's part of it, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
That, I actually went to the strip club for the first time in my life, like, a few months ago.
Oh,
I've
really?
Never been. Yeah, I've never really had a desire to go because, like, I mean, like... You can't jack off in a
strip know, club. I
like
know.
To be in a room full of men with a boner, and we all probably have boners. But right. I decided to try it because, you know, I like to try everything once. Tried, like, this whole past few months is a first time, a lot of first times, you know, mm-hmm. I've tried shrooms for the first time, Molly. But, I digress. So I go into the
strip club.
So you
see your spirit animal, by the way?
Yeah. No, I didn't see any animals. I saw lots of things. No animals.
Okay.
I saw bees. Maybe, are bees my spirit animal then?
Maybe. What did that mean to you when you saw bees? What did they represent?
I was very self-aware during my whole trip, is because I knew I was going to, like, be tripping, so I didn't want to freak out, because I think that's the worst, is when, like, someone does drugs, and then they freak out, and then, like, it's, like, horrible for right. everyone. So, like, I knew, and I enjoyed it a lot. Like, I definitely, like, I talk up shrooms to, like, so many people because of it now. I used to live further up on Hollywood, near Hollywood and Vine. We have that club Showgirls there. Thousands of beautiful girls and 3 ugly ones. And I've always wanted to go in there to see, like, who those 3 ugly ones are. Mm-hmm. But when you get in there, I still haven't, because when you get in there, you get immediately distracted. There's titties out, you know?
Right, right,
and it's
right.
very chill, because, like it's very chill at first, because you have this obligation to, like there's no obligation. Like, there's just chairs, and there's a girl on stage, so you don't feel like you have to spend any money. But then, like, eventually you start to get closer to the stage, and that's when they get you. They wrap you in there.
Yeah.
But at the time, I just got paid for one of my... commercials, and like I blew, like, no, the first time
so you went, just had this, like, wad of money burn a hole in your pocket.
Oh, yeah.
And all these titties.
Yeah, but the first time it was more chill. The first time it was, like, real chill. I was just there checking it out.
Sure.
Burnt, only spent, like, I think $40. Yeah. And it was cool, had a good time. It was amazing, actually, because it was amazing because, like, there was girls there too, so like girls at the strip club, so it didn't feel creepy at all. Right. And like, you just really, like, it felt like, oh damn, yeah. And like, it just felt like a rap video, and there was just titties and just vaginas in my face. And
sure.
I didn't get a lap dance. I was just there enjoying the stage. The second time is when the bomb dropped. The second time is when I got that money from my commercial. I had lots of money to burn. Like, I came with a friend. I gave him some cash. Like, straight, like, baller sass. Like, gave him some cash. Yeah. I blew, like, $220 that night. So, not too much. Much to where, like, I'm like, oh, but it's like, damn. but I got, like, 3 different lap dances. Made it rain, you know, all that stupid stuff. Those things you want to check off your bucket list. I'm going to do, like, one more, like, when I get, like, a big role. If I get a role on a movie or when I get a role on TV, I'll do it one more time. Because I want to go in there when I have some note so people can be like, oh, that's so-and-so. I was like, yes, it is.
Oh, shit. Who's making it rain right now? Yeah. I saw another video that you posted of speaking of strip clubs. It was just like this weird style of like aggressive humping in the dance club.
Shit, yeah.
And they were like jumping off speakers onto each other, fucking each other. And this would be like 350-pound women would be jumping on like 160-pound dudes.
Yeah.
And just like in this kind of dance hall kind of like dry hump orgy, you know, with a lot of would seem like stunts where people are doing backflips into the humps. You know, it's very, you know.
It was, yeah, that's very like you knew for it was a dance hall just because of just the dynamics of like the skinny ass men, bigger women, because in Belize and Jamaica, that's how they like their women big. But just like, yeah, it was just so crazy seeing them jump off the speakers right into the ass. And like the way they were just like, just like there was one where like he was swinging around the pole over, and then there was one point where he was standing on her back, and like she's smiling, and I'm like, oh shit, this is crazy.
It was almost like jujitsu, where it's like no matter what from what position, they would always find themselves back in the hump, you know, very expertly maneuvering themselves, backflipping off a speaker. However it is, their eyes on the prize, and I thought that was very impressive.
Yeah, it was a feat to be to be seen.
So, man, Jose Salvador Algavarega. I think he's a white guy. But he's
I got this.
There you go.
Jose Salvador Alvarenga.
Hey. He's a white guy from Argentina. But he was accused of eating a shipmate when they were out at sea for 14 months. You know? So, he's like, not for one second did I think of eating him. So he just says, you know, I wouldn't have done it. I would have starved and I would not have done it.
Yeah.
But apparently he just tossed him out to sea after a couple days, you know. And the authorities are very mad with him. They're like, what'd you do with the body? The body has the evidence. The evidence has, you know, it's a forensic analysis to make sure you didn't eat him.
Yeah.
You know, what happened? So, I don't know. This is a weird story where it's like, you know, we'll never know what really happened out at sea.
Yeah, that and it's like brings up like the question, like, I mean, hey, you lost at sea.
What were the rules?
I know. Where are the rules at? Like, if someone, what if he died before he ate him? Like, is it good to, are you free to eat him? Well, if he died, you know, and you're lost at sea.
Right.
Like, what's the,
seemed like they had chum.
Yeah.
And that, so he didn't want to eat the chum, so he, like, died of starvation.
Oh, wow.
Just to, like, bait sharks or whatever. But, that's weird, because, yeah, it's like, I mean, I wouldn't want a stinking car. I mean, after a few days, that thing is going to bloat up.
Oh,
it's
going
to be awful to have around.
It's going to be creepy. You're going to have to sleep next to it.
It's hot as fuck on the boat, you know? What do you think's going to... The thing... Its intestines are going to rot. Anyways. I love this story. Knoxville, Tennessee. Man fakes kidnapping, but mom won't pay $200 ransom. So I love how it's $200. He's like, I just need to pill. I'm wearing some OxyContin for today, so I'll say to my, cause my goddamn mom won't give me $200 for my OxyContin money. So then I'm gonna put on a hat and I'm gonna stand in front of a webcam and I'm gonna change my voice. I'm gonna say, Mom, I mean Mrs. Vanderbilt, I need the $200. I got your son here.
No, I imagine it's something even more ridiculous. So he goes, hey, Mom, let me get $200. It's like, sorry, baby, I don't have $200 for you. Okay. And he leaves a note on the table, walks away. She opens the note. I have your son. Give me $200.
Yeah, exactly. So apparently, as soon as the cops said, hey, I have an idea. Let's say that you gave him the money and you're going to put it at a certain location, right? To this ransom. Say you believe him, you're going to pay the ransom. So then this kid comes out to go pick up the money, and then the cops arrest him. That's how they get you. That's how they get you. Gotcha. You know? What do you think? Is that To Catch a Predator entrapment? You know? Yeah. Just leave the cash. Hey, we got the cash. It's right there. Got to go pick it up. It's a little hot in here, isn't it? It's a little hot.
Yeah, I'll just let it air out just a little.
So you see this thing called, this guy called Dan Bilzerian.
Oh, that guy.
He is a very wealthy poker player. He's got this
mouth. Oh, that's how he got the money?
Yeah.
Okay, I've been wondering my whole see him and I'd be like, how does he have all that money?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
But he just like Instagrams himself like throwing, like just crashing Maseratis or like, you know, skydiving in ridiculous places, and this guy's just rich as fuck. Well, he got in a little trouble. He threw a Brazilian porn star off his roof, and she broke her foot in the drop.
Damn.
But I, in investigating this story, I tried to find the uncensored version because she was completely naked.
Yeah.
But I could not find that, so I apologize. But is this how you would go? Like, I mean, trying to make it rain one time in a strip club is one thing, but throwing a porn star off your roof into a pool.
No, that just sounds dangerous. That just sounds... And I mean, when you have that much money, you want to be as safe as possible so no one can sue you? Oh, man.
Is he like, I got so many fucking Brazilian porn stars in here, I'm going to throw one of these bitches off the roof because my place is getting full up. Like, that's... Is that where this idea is coming from?
Yeah, he's like, too many porn stars in my house. Throw one off the roof.
So, teen arrested with loaded gun in vagina. Another Tennessee teen, same place. She probably knew the $200 ransom guy.
Yeah.
They were arrested for driving with a suspended license, but when she got patted down, they realized there was a little something sticking out of her crotch area in the pat-down. And it turned out to be a barrel. And then they found the smoking gun. 22 caliber. Mini revolver.
God.
You know what I'm saying?
Why would you put a loaded gun in your vagina? That just screams trouble.
It's just, is that the rape thing? Like the ultimate move for rape? Like if you're... All right, I'll give it to you, okay?
Boom. You know? Boom. Shot you in the dick.
If she's got real good clitoral control, you think she could like get a fast trigger off?
Or if you do your Kegels.
Yeah, she just starts squeezing them off.
Yeah.
So now you do stand up and you do improv, as we were talking about. How do you get rid of old material? Do you like? Because I find myself joke hoarding. I don't know about you, but I was like writing last night, and it's like all these like things I've tried a couple times, they're not working, and it's like I don't want to throw them out. Maybe I could save them.
I definitely keep them because, like, in a weird way, you might create a bit in the future. Like, I've had, like, new bits where I brought in old jokes. I was like, this doesn't fucking work. And I was like, oh, no, it works right into this new bit. And then the joke itself that sucked is way more funny because now it's associated with this bit that they're in love with.
Yeah.
So I say you can't have too many jokes.
It is weird, though, like, when I'm trying to pick a set and I just have, like, I don't know, maybe I just got to organize better. I just have one document called Raw Material.
Yeah.
One document called Stand-Up Setlist Tonight. One document called First Hour. And that's all I have. So, like, if it's graduates from the first set. Yeah. I use it a bunch of times. It's good. Boom. First hour.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a good way to do it.
And that's, you know, that's how you get a good treasure trove of jokes. You, like, test. This is the hypothesis, the experiment phase. After the experiment goes well, boom. That's a finished product.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I patented a chemical series of words together.
Oh, hell yeah.
Boom. This is my thesis. You know, 75 jokes. So anyway, did you answer that question?
Yeah, I said keep it around. Keep it around.
You
and
never
then,
get... How do you organize shit? How do you...
I have just this huge note folder on my iPhone, and then, like, I'll get ready to, like, do a mic, and then I'll pull from it. And sometimes I'll go back to it, and I'll scroll all the way back to the top, and then see if there's anything that I haven't used and what I think of it. Sometimes, yeah, I'll be like, oh, shit, I forgot about this thing. This is funny.
Right. So you got any shows to plug? What's going on in Iffy's world?
Yeah, if you head down to UCB May 8th, you can see my team White Women in Improv versus Standout. We'll be going against JC Coakley, or Kukuli. I keep fucking her last name up. And another female comic, I forget her name at the moment, but she is also a white woman. So it will be White Women versus White Women.
So are, how many people in the team White Women are white women?
Zero.
Okay.
We are all black males.
Right.
We are all black males, but we are called White Women.
Is that, how, where did that evolve from? You just wanted to go opposite?
Well, we wanted to be an all black team, and so we were thinking of team names and such. And then we just decided, damn, White Women, it's like right there. Like, of course, all these black dudes, White Women, we're not White Women. It's just the joke that, it's funny because it just happens to be the joke that keeps on giving. Because first we had that name and we thought it was funny because it was either funny because there was a, when you call us to the stage, White Women, and then all these black dudes come out. And it's funny because you see black dudes,
yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like, oh, where are the white funny. Women now? But then now, like with the Facebook like page, like when you like us, it says you like white women. So it's just... It's been fun. You know? It's been fun.
That's a good little internet marketing thing. And, you know, Facebook's got us all tracked. Anyway, so you can either do that or May 8th, you know what else is going on.
Oh.
I'm playing Flappers Burbank.
Oh, what?
7:30, Yoohoo Room. So,
nice.
You know, pick your poison. But,
I know, pick your poison. If you want stand-up, if you want improv and stand-up, you know.
Hey, we're telling you what to do May 8th. And also, what you could do right now is you could go to www.herecomesgodot.com.
Oh,
check
yeah.
out that web series I got going on called Here Comes Godot, you know.
Super hilarious.
17 episodes, an hour of content, you know.
Probably one of the funniest web series out right now.
Oh, shit. Plugging away. Anything else you got going on?
You know, if you can go to iffywaddyway.com. I have all the shit that I'm probably forgetting to say on there. Got lots of my sketches starting to blow up. It's on Deadspin right now. I did it with All Deaf Digital. It's Russell Simmons, his YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this sketch about like trying to stop racism in the NBA, and there's this Native American guy who's like, yeah, what about the racist team names? It's like, well, and we're kind of ignoring him. It's kind of funny.
I got one more question for you.
Of
you
course.
Got a really good attitude, you know, you
yeah.
seem to be a happy person.
Yeah.
How did that happen with pursuing comedy? Like, how did you actually end up with a good attitude when it's, you know what I mean? A lot
yeah.
of people I know, it's like this ambition, this goal is so focused that when, you know, people don't live up to people, when not everybody's, you know, lending movies, you know, when, you know,
yeah.
there tends to be this like, almost like resentment kind of build up.
Yeah.
How do you avoid that? You know?
Oh, I can tell you how to avoid that. There's, first off, you stay busy, just stay busy. Don't worry about what the fuck's happening to someone else, because I feel like that's what happens, especially when you're in Hollywood, because you start to become friends with so many people that your friends might start blowing up.
Right.
And like, as long as you're doing what you're supposed to do, people will notice it. Like, that's one thing I figured out, is like, just staying busy. Like, I feel like the busier I get, the more opportunities come to me. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to hold for this helicopter.
Yeah. Black helicopter. Feds are on to us.
I know. That usually happens around this part of town, the helicopter. Like, I'm right on the border of, like, the good part and the bad part of Hollywood, so. And that's me being generous. But yeah, you just stay busy and doing, like, you know, you got your web series, and this is the second, like, thing I've heard. You had your web series before that. Like, you stay busy. Right. And I think you have a, like, even though you have this persona of, like, stirring up the shit, like, you actually have a really good attitude. Like, I do see what you mean. Like, I'll go to mics and guys will be miserable and all this stuff. But, like, honestly, lots of those guys are the guys who aren't doing anything. Like, I feel like this, and this is my advice to anybody, and you can say, go fuck yourself. Whatever, is if you're in, if you're looking to get into stand-up, don't just do stand-up. If you just do stand-up, you're just going to be doing stand-up till you either finally make it or you get bitter. That's just all it is because, like, an agent is going to pick up someone. I'm going to tell you this for a fact, true story, because I have a friend who works for UTA Talent Agency. They represent Amy Schumer and a whole bunch of big people. And, like, I know a few, you know, guys who are in the game right now, and the first thing they ask you when they walk up to you after your set is, do you have 30 minutes? The second thing they ask you is, do you act? Do you, like, what else do you do?
Right.
Because an agent can't just make money from comedy. And, like, here's another thing, starting up comedy pays shit. Getting up at the improv, doing 10 minutes or more is $15. And that's, and you'll probably get up maybe, right, if you're there hustling once a week, that's only $15 a week. That isn't going to pay your rent.
Right.
And then the way to do it is produce your own shows, produce your own stand-up shows, write, get a job, because these comedy shows are looking for comedians. So if you're trying to say you're only a comedian, you're not going to get that money that's out there. And you're going to be sitting there mad looking at the other guy.
Yeah, for sure. And also, I think that a lot of times when people just come from stand-up, it's like a very... They can kind of have, like, an edge to them. They can kind of have, like, these weird ego things going to them. And when they get in, like, you know, a sitcom environment, they're not collaborative. And I think that's where, like, improv comes in, where you really know... You learn very quickly that you don't always have the best joke. Yeah. You're not always the funniest person.
Yeah.
And that is drilled over and over and proven over and over again in improv drills. And so I kind of think that really humbles you to be, you know?
Yeah.
And that makes it so you can work with other people and, you know...
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so, you know, different superpowers. Anyway, sounds good. Hey, Iffy, thanks a lot for being on the podcast. Hey,
thanks
again
for having me on. Yeah, I love hanging, you know?
Cool, man.
Doing the thing.
That's another episode of the Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Thanks for my guest, Iffy.
Peace.